Welcome to the Salem Alliance Church Podcast. To learn more about Salem Alliance, including life groups, gathering times, and other resources, visit us online at salemalliance.org.
Amen and amen. God is here among us. This is truly a taste of heaven. Amen. I just picture us worshiping before the throne with every people, tongue, tribe, and nation. So thank you, team, for leading us in that today. My name is Anya Holcomb, pastor of Refugee Ministries here at Salem Alliance, along with my husband, Doug. And we are in the last week of our Reach series, where we have been celebrating what God is doing in the nations and in the neighborhoods. And today, we get to celebrate what he's doing both in and through the nations who are in our neighborhoods. You see, right here in Salem, we have refugees and immigrants who have moved here from many different nations of the world. A lot of them were forced to flee from their home countries because of war, persecution, and violence. And now there are new neighbors. And we get to extend the love of Jesus as we welcome and support and walk alongside them as they make Salem their new home. Our ministry to refugees and immigrants at Salem Alliance is called Baraka. It's a word that means blessing in a variety of different languages. And through Baraka, we get to bless our global neighbors with God's love through long-term practical, social, and spiritual support. And then in turn, we get to receive blessing from our global neighbors. We got to do that this morning, right? As they share their lives, as they share their friendship with us. We have Baraka tables out in the lobby today that have a bunch of information about the different ministries and how you can get involved. We have Baraka English, a program that provides a warm, relational environment for refugee and immigrant women to learn English and build community. We have the Baraka Prayer Gathering, a place where refugees, immigrants, and friends gather every Sunday evening to share a meal together and worship and pray in multiple languages. We have Baraka Immigration Legal Services that provides high-quality, low-cost immigration legal services, things like citizenship and green cards and work permits. We have partnerships with All Nations Soccer, Salem for Refugees, and Ariana House, three amazing organizations that we get to team with. And then we have a ministry you may not have heard about yet called Baraka Workforce Development. Many of you probably remember Sparrow Furniture was a woodworking shop we had that provided employment training for refugees. Well, about a year ago, we had to close down the woodworking shop, but we did not close down the vision to empower refugees to overcome employment barriers. So Sparrow Furniture was reborn as Baraka Workforce Development, and we're so excited about what God's doing through this ministry. Take a look at this video to hear the story.
Workforce Development, we believe that every person carries dignity, value, and the capacity to contribute to their community. Our name, Baraka, means blessing, and that's exactly what we hope to offer and experience together. Our mission is simple yet powerful: to demonstrate God's love by empowering refugees to overcome employment barriers through paid job training and English education. We create pathways for success by offering hands-on work experience in the culinary sector and facilities management, while also giving language development and cultural integration through our community dinners, all while fostering belonging and hope.
My name is John Aliasta. My family is Ibrahimi. I'm from Afghanistan, America. تقریبا اجدام ما میشه کم دیم. آمریکا ما قدر احساس پیدا کردیم که از قفس آزاد شدیم. از قفس آزاد شدیم. تا این روز بهترین روزهای زندگیم شاید اقتولی. بعد از 20 سال بهترین روزهای زندگیم همی. 18 ماه بودم. یک سال که مثلا کار نمی کردیم بسیار ناراحت بودیم. چرا ما کار زیاد است، زبان بلد نیستیم، انگلیش بلد نیستیم، بس دیگه میتمانده بودیم که این زبان چیکار کنیم، کجا بریم، چیکار کنیم. بس اون سپرو پروگرام پیدا شد، 6 ماه کار کردیم، خیلی از ما کمک هم شدن. سپرو پروگرام ما رو پس در زندگی آورد، یعنی ما پس امید پیدا کردیم که ها رایش سپرو هم قدر امروز ما کمک کردن که ما رفتیم کار پیدا کردیم، این رو کار میکنیم. سپرو چقدر قدر ما کمک کردن.
I'm not a refugee, but an immigrant, and I know the challenges that I went through as an immigrant. Refugees go through my challenges times 10. I remember when I first came to the U.S., it took me about 2 years before I could understand a word of English. This program gives people the opportunity to learn and understand in a practical setting. You know, they work, and then we talk about English language that is related to the functions that they have done at the restaurant or at the maintenance or whatever. So it pays them, it educates them, they love it, they're dedicated, they're committed to it. I think that's an amazing feature of the program.
We believe that when barriers are removed, doors open, not just to jobs, but to relationships, healing, and thriving in a new home. At Baraka Workforce Development, we are more than a program. We are a community of blessing. Join us as we empower, equip, and celebrate our new neighbors.
So as we've been engaging in these refugee and immigrant ministries over the past 8 years, a beautiful thing has happened. Many of our friends who came here as refugees and immigrants are now part of our church family here at Salem Alliance. So it's not us and them, it's all of us together. We're friends with each other. We worship together. We pray together. We eat really good food together. We lead together. We serve together. In fact, I was actually not supposed to be the one up here preaching today. I was supposed to be introducing my Congolese friend, Leonard, who was supposed to be up here preaching. Leonard and his family moved here as refugees a few years ago. They made Salem Alliance their church home. Leonard's a leader in our Baraka prayer gathering. He's a gifted teacher. And we were so excited and honored that he was going to share the word of God with us today. Very sadly, about a week ago, Leonard had a severe stroke, and he is still recovering in the hospital. So I would just love if, as a church, we could take a minute to pause and to pray for Leonard and his family, his wife Esther, and their 7 kids. So would you pray with me? Father, in your name, right now, we lift up our brother Leonard. And we pray in the name of Jesus that you would bring healing to his body, that you would restore everything that was lost from the stroke, that you would bring back full movement and strength to his arms and his legs. I pray you'd give him the full ability to eat and chew and swallow. Jesus, in your name, I pray that you would restore his ability to speak and communicate. Even right now, would you touch the neural pathways, the connections that need to come back together? Give him the ability to speak, even right now in his hospital room, Jesus, we pray. I pray for Esther. I pray for the kids. I pray you would hold them so tightly as they walk this difficult journey. I pray their whole family would know your presence, would know your love, experience your love in such a deep and powerful way in the days and weeks ahead. We ask these things in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. As a church, we are committed to walking with Leonard and his family through this journey because we are part of the body of Christ together. We are family. And as I think about this, as I think about what's happening in our churches, we welcome global neighbors and many others from diverse backgrounds and become family together. I think that something very special is taking place, something that brings great joy to our Father in heaven. You see, as we live, serve, and worship with people from different ethnic, cultural, and social backgrounds, we get to be the answer to a prayer from Jesus himself. And we're going to look at this prayer today. So open your Bibles with me. We're going to be in John chapter 17, verses 20 to 23. Jesus says, "I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us, so that the world will believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me, so they may be one as we are one. I am in them and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me." This is the word of God. So this prayer is part of a longer prayer that Jesus prays on the night before he's crucified. So he's in the upper room with his disciples where he's just shared his final Passover meal with them. He's washed their feet. He dismissed Judas, who's going to betray him. And then he has this long conversation with them where he gives them some final instructions for the journey that he knows is ahead. And it's right after this conversation and right before he leaves the upper room to go to the garden where he's going to be arrested that Jesus prays this prayer. So this is a significant moment. It's probably a pretty emotional moment. This prayer is really a marker that marks the passing of the baton to those who are going to carry on the work that Jesus began, the work of proclaiming eternal life to all people. The entire prayer can be divided into three sections. You probably see it listed in your Bibles that way. So first, Jesus prays for himself. Then he prays for his disciples, the 11 men who are left with him in the room in that moment. And then he prays the prayer that we just read in verses 20 to 23. So we're going to take a closer look at that part of the prayer. As we look at the prayer, we're going to ask ourselves three questions: who, what, and why. So first of all, who? Who is Jesus praying for? In verse 20, he says, "I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message." So are you catching this? On the night before Jesus was crucified, he had us on his mind. Jesus himself is praying for us. It literally gives me the chills to think about this. The gospel spread from God the Father to Jesus the Son to the 11 men in the room with him that night to countless believers throughout the centuries who continue to spread the good news. And now, 2,000 years later, this same gospel message has spread to you and me with the result that we now believe it. And Jesus prays for us. On a much smaller scale, it's like if you were at a U2 concert. Now, I realize I'm probably dating myself by referencing U2, but do most of you in the room know U2, Irish rock band? Yeah? Okay. Go with me here. So you're at a U2 concert. There's thousands and thousands of people there. And all of a sudden, from the stage, Bono himself turns and he looks straight at you and he says your name. Pretty cool, right? Well, this is a much bigger deal than that. Jesus prays specifically for me and specifically for you. And not only for you and me, Jesus prays for any and all who believe in him now or will ever believe in the future, regardless of who they are, where they come from, what they look like, what languages they speak, what century they live in. Jesus prays for everyone who believes. So that's the who. Now what? What is Jesus praying for? Surprisingly, he prays for just one thing, and only one thing. Three times in three verses, he prays for unity. First, he prays that we will all be one. Then a second time, he prays that we may be one. And then a third time, he prays that we will experience perfect unity. Of all the things that Jesus could have prayed for the future church in this pivotal moment right before he dies, unity is the one thing that he asks God to give us. And notice that when Jesus prays that we would be one, he prays we would be one in the same way that he and the Father are one. Now, this is some serious oneness because the Father is God and Jesus is God. They have this indistinguishable essence, and this is the kind of unity that Jesus wants for us. In Philippians 2:2, Paul gives us a great definition of what it means to experience unity. He describes it as being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, being united in spirit, and intent on one purpose. So Jesus prays we will have perfect unity, complete oneness, that we will be united in our minds, our love, our spirit, our purpose, in the same way that he and the Father are united. Now this sounds wonderful. It sounds amazing. But if you look at the divisive history of the world and the divisive history of the church, it also sounds impossible. It's kind of like when my kids say to me, "Yes, Mom, we'll have our rooms completely clean by the time you get home." It sounds fabulous, but the chances that it's actually going to happen are slim to none. Ever since Satan entered the story of God's creation and Adam and Eve sinned, division and discord and hatred have run rampant in the world. And sadly, the church is far from immune. The history of the church is full of fractioning and conflict and controversy. How can the kind of unity Jesus prays for be even remotely possible in the midst of so much brokenness and so much division? Well, Jesus gives us the answer right in the middle of his prayer. He says, "May they be in us." He asks God to make us part of that inner circle of relationship between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Just two chapters earlier in John 15, he tells his disciples the same thing. He says, "Remain in me as I also remain in you." So we're invited in to this divine relationship. And that is the key. The key to unity is intimacy with God. Perfect unity is found in him. As we align with Jesus and move towards deeper intimacy with him, we naturally move towards deeper unity with each other. I want you to picture something with me. Picture a big, huge, tall pole that someone has placed right in the middle of Minto Brown Park. This pole is so big and so tall that you can see it for miles around. It's way above the trees. And like there usually is, there's people all over Minto Brown Park. So there's people on the playground, there's people on the trails, there's people on the bridge in the dog park. And all of a sudden, everyone stops what they're doing. They turn towards this pole in the center, and everyone starts walking towards the pole. So no matter where they're at, no matter where they're coming from in the park, as they get closer to that pole, they get closer to one another at the same time. So this is the way it is. As we move towards Jesus, we also move towards one another. Now, this doesn't mean that we don't need to work towards unity. We need to passionately pursue unity with the diverse body of Christ. We need to love radically and compassionately, reach out beyond our comfort zones, build relationships with those who are different than us, seek after reconciliation, forgive generously, serve humbly, listen thoughtfully, lay down our preferences for the sake of others. Scripture teaches us to do all of these things. And as we do these things, we must remember that Jesus' prayer for unity is that God will bring us together in Himself. Our unity with each other only grows as we grow in intimacy with Him. And this is how the impossible becomes possible. This is how we can transcend cultural and ethnic and social and generational differences as a diverse but unified body of Christ. I've experienced this so clearly in our Baraka prayer gathering community. We come from many different nations and languages and backgrounds, but we constantly pursue intimacy with Jesus. We have some of the most powerful prayer and worship times that I have ever experienced, and it brings us together in unity in really beautiful ways. So to recap, who is Jesus praying for? He's praying for everyone who believes. And what is he praying for? For perfect unity in him. So now our last question, why? Why does Jesus pray that we will be one? Well, he prays that we will be one for two very specific reasons, or so that two things will happen. In Greek, the words so that and that in verses 21 and 23 introduce an if-then statement. So if X occurs, then Y is the guaranteed result. So for example, if you have fire, then you will have heat, right? There's no way that you will not have heat if you have fire. So here are the two things Jesus says will for sure happen if we will be one, if we will come together in him. First, he says, if we will be one, then the world will know that you sent me. If we unite as one in him, then people will experientially understand that he truly is the Savior of the world. Because only the Prince of Peace can redeem all of humanity, people from every nation, tongue, tribe, and language, and unite them as one before the Father. It's simply not humanly possible. We are too fractured. We are too divided. Only a Savior who was sent by God can do this. And then secondly, he says, if we will be one, then the world will know that you love them. When people from diverse backgrounds unite as one in Christ, they manifest the reality that he breaks down that dividing wall of hostility that Paul talks about in Ephesians 2, so that all of humanity can experience his love. When we live as true brothers and sisters, then it's easy to see the love of our Father. Pastor and author Mark DeMoss sums it up this way. On the night before he died then, Jesus Christ delivered to us the most effective means for reaching the world with the gospel. He did not ask us to write books, bring evangelists to our cities, or put fish emblems on our cars. Nor did he instruct us to win the world through large churches built by and for a specific segment of society. For that matter, he did not pray that we would be seeker-sensitive, postmodern, emergent, or purpose-driven. Rather, He called us to be one. Then, he said, the world would know God's love and believe. So why does Jesus pray that we will be one? So the world will know God's love and believe. This is how he will share his love and his redemption with all of humanity. Unfortunately, the opposite of this is also true. When we don't come together in unity. For example, I keep telling Rob and Brian to stop fighting with each other. Right in the middle of Broadway Coffee House, it's just setting such a bad example of unity. But in all seriousness, when believers are divided and fractured, which sadly is all too common, then the world does not experience God's love and redemption through us. But when we do come together in unity, especially those of us who normally wouldn't come together because of our differences in background, ethnicity, culture, language, generation, or social group, when we do come together and live as one in Christ, it is a powerful witness, a powerful witness of the good news. A perfect example of this is the growth of the early church that we see in Acts 2. The world was drawn in because of their love and their unity with one another. I had an amazing experience a number of years back when I was serving in a refugee camp in Macedonia. I got to stand and watch as an Iranian woman prayed to receive Jesus as her savior. She had fled Iran as a refugee and had been traveling for several weeks, on foot mostly, through Turkey, through Greece, and into Macedonia. And right after she finished praying, she turned to me, and somebody happened to snap a photo of that exact moment. And this is what she said. She said, "All along this journey, it's been you Christians who've been helping me everywhere that I've been." And she said, "And all of you are the same, caring about me, giving me food, giving me shelter. And now," I'll never forget this, she said, "and now I have to know this God who you follow." It was the unity of believers, in this case, believers who didn't even know each other, but were unified in pouring out love that brought her to Jesus. One of our global neighbors here in Salem, who's not a believer, visited Salem Alliance recently when we were worshiping in different languages, and we happened to sing in her language that day. She was so surprised. She told me she had never experienced anything like it before. The diversity of language, along with the unity and joy of worship. And she asked me to tell her what this was all about. It's this practical, observable unity that shows the world who our God is. It tells the truth that Jesus is the Son of God, and it reflects our Father's love. So friends, as we live, serve, and worship with people from different ethnic, cultural, and social backgrounds, we can be the answer to Jesus' prayer. We have an incredible opportunity right now here at Salem Alliance, as God has been growing our church family with people from many different backgrounds. We can proclaim the good news to the community around us as we live in unity with one another. I have three takeaways for us today. First, grow in intimacy with Jesus. This is the foundation of growing in unity with other believers, and it's something that we continue to do for our entire lifetime. We have a great resource called the Discipleship Pathway Guide that can help us to continue to go deeper with Jesus, no matter where we're at in the journey. There's a QR code there where you can get it online, or you can pick up hard copies in the Welcome Center as well. Second takeaway is have coffee. Have coffee with someone in our church family who comes from a different background than you. Unity comes through relationship, and we have to be extra intentional to seek out relationships with people who are different than us, because we just naturally tend to gravitate towards relationships with people who are like us. So I encourage you to extend beyond your comfort zone. Invite someone out to coffee. Maybe it's one of our refugee and immigrant neighbors, or maybe it's someone from a different socioeconomic group, or someone from a different generation. And as you sit across the table from each other, be ready to listen and learn and experience mutual blessing. If you need help knowing where to start making connections, we'd love to invite you to connect with one of our Baraka ministries. You'll meet incredible people from all over the world. Come to the Baraka prayer gathering on Sunday nights and worship and pray with the crew who's up here leading us today. You heard Joy talk about community dinners at Baraka Workforce Development. Those happen on Wednesday nights. The table is literally set. Just come and build relationships. Every week on Tuesdays and Thursdays, this building is full of women and children from over 20 different countries who come here to learn English. I'd love to show you the short video so you can get a little taste of what that's like.
Baraka English is a ministry of Salem Alliance Church that provides a warm, relational environment for refugee and immigrant women to learn English, build community, and experience God's love for them. This program was created to meet a crucial need of the refugee community. The women who came to Salem as refugees were often isolated at home with their children without having opportunities to learn English. The biggest barriers preventing them from attending English classes were the needs for transportation and childcare. Through the dedication of our volunteer drivers and childcare providers, we are able to provide rides to and from class and childcare for children ages 0 to 5. Our classes offer English language instruction for women who are pre-literate all the way to conversational English for more advanced students. We serve approximately 100 women and 50 children from over 20 different countries. We meet at Salem Alliance Church on Tuesday and Thursday mornings from September through June, following the Salem-Keizer school schedule. Our volunteer teachers are supported with high-quality curriculum and the help of volunteer teaching assistants.
What's interesting about Baraka is it's a very special place where we have so many women who come to the classroom, come to each table from all over the world.
The ladies can sit around a table without a common language other than English and movement and expressions and communicate how much they love their families, or they love one another, and they greet each other exuberantly.
I hear the chatter on the bus as they're talking to each other and enjoying that time of just being together.
They're in the same position trying to navigate the American culture, the English language, and so what you see is them becoming friends.
Along with high-quality English instruction, our program creates a caring, supportive community. Every class day, our hospitality volunteers host a tea break where students can enjoy tea, snacks, and conversation with their classmates and volunteers. As friendships develop between students and volunteers, we have opportunities for visiting students outside of class in their homes.
Ce que je voudrais dire à Baraka English, que Dieu bénisse Baraka English.
A good environment, a friendly and good teacher. I love this way to learn English.
So Baraka is something like magnificent for us, especially for refugees, because it's so hard to move on the next country, which you can speak and understand.
Here, my English is improving, and it's good. Thank you, Baraka English.
أنا كثير بحب المعلمات وبحب الأسلوب اللي عطينا إياه.
Baraka English School gave me big opportunity for speaking, listen, and understand American people.
من شكره Baraka, مسمى Baraka.
Language, rain, teacher, everybody, family. Very, very good. Thank you very much.
We pray that students in our program experience God's love through relationships with teachers and volunteers who have a deep faith in Jesus.
We truly would love to have you join us. There is so much joy and so much mutual blessing that comes through relationship with people from different backgrounds. My last takeaway is to pray. Pray for unity. We need to be following Jesus' example and be praying for unity, especially as our church more and more reflects the beautiful diversity of God's kingdom. We need to be praying for that oneness of mind, love, and spirit and purpose among us, a unity so powerful that the world will know God's love and believe. I'd love to invite my sister Adela up to join me. I have learned more about prayer from Adela than anyone else in my life, and I have asked if she would pray for unity for us today.
Good morning, Church Salem Alliance. Morning. Can you stand up and we'll pray for unity, please? I am here, you are here, because Jesus prayed for you and I. Amen? We will pray by faith. God bring unity. Welcome in prayer. Dear God, I say thank you. I glorify your name, Jesus, for everything you have done. You bring unity in your church. Thank you. You bring us together to worship you. Thank you, Jesus. I ask for unity for those family. They are lost unity. Please, Jesus, bring back the parents, son, daughter, together to worship you. Have mercy. I present it to you all the countries around the world, God. Visit every country. He's lost the unity. Bring back. You are the King of Kings, Majesty. You have the authority. In the name of Jesus, bring your unity, God, for those countries. Bring your peace, your joy. Teach everyone, all of us, to be humble and gentle like you, Jesus. Teach us. We need you. Mtakatifu, wewe ni Mungu. Tunaomba kwa ajili ya umoja, Mungu wetu. Kwa ile mafamilia yote inakosa umoja. Leta umoja, Mungu. Wewe ni baba wa umoja. Umeleta kanisa lako mahali hapa kwa maana umeomba kwa ajili yetu. Kwa ajili ya nchi zote, baba, zinakosa amani, leta amani. Wewe ni Mungu wa amani. Leta amani, Jehova, wewe ni Mungu wa amani. Tunahitaji amani yako, Yesu. Hallelujah. Take out every spirit of division. Go out in the name of Jesus. We ask for your peace, God. Around the world. We ask for your peace, God, in our family. In your church, God. Continue, God, bring revival in the name of Jesus. We glorify your name. Thank you, God, for your unity. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Salem Alliance podcast.
We hope you have been challenged and inspired. Salem Alliance is a community of believers located in downtown Salem, Oregon, and we are passionate about our city being a city at peace with God. To experience other messages and discover more about who we are, please visit salemalliance.org or download the Salem Alliance app. And again, thanks for listening.